We are joined by Jeff O'Brien. He is an attorney with Chestnut Cambrone, and he is, Mike, you're a little bit of everything. I mean, if you got a craft brewery, you're the guy to represent you. Hey, by the way, how are things going with craft breweries now? Are they still on the uptick, or are they leveled off?
Well, I've got a few, Bob, that are still in process of opening. We've had a few that unfortunately did not survive the pandemic.
COVID, yep.
Particularly, St. Paul got pretty hard hit. But no, I'm still working with new folks in new areas that still want to do breweries. I think for the hospitality industry generally, these last month and a half of what's going on our sports scene with the Twins starting out competitive, with the Timberwolves going to, getting into the playoffs and going six games, with the Wild having a playoff series. Unfortunately, they ended early. I wish it would have gone further. But all of those things help our bars and restaurants because people go out and watch the games and drink. So that's actually been helpful. They needed that after 2 years of what they've gone through. That this, the more our sports teams can be competitive and and create interest, the more people show up at bars and watch them and have a few cocktails while they're there.
Well, my son, I called him the other night. He was at Hayes Craft Brewery in Buffalo with his girlfriend and some friends. So he likes it. He liked it a lot. Anyway, hey, we got to talk about what happened over the weekend. Obviously, the big news was Dr. Scott Jensen and our pal Matt Burke, Lieutenant Governor candidate. They were selected on the 9th. Why did it take 9 ballots for them to get selected? I don't understand that process.
Well, you had about four or five candidates seeking endorsement, and the rule is you have to get 60%. And, there's at certain points along the way is when candidates automatically drop off. So, like, after the first ballot, I forget what percentage, if you were that below, you would drop off. But I don't think anybody dropped off again until, like, the next threshold was hit at, like, the third or fourth ballot. So it does – when you have that many candidates seeking endorsement and the margins were pretty close. At one point, I think there were 3 of them all within, like, they had about 30%. Someone has to drop, really, in order
to get the 60.
And so that's ultimately what happened is there was one candidate that dropped and endorsed Scott, and Scott then once he got to 59%, I think it was kind of the delegates were like, all right, it's just a matter of time. Let's endorse him and go home.
Now, also the guy who doesn't seem to have come out of this looking good, he came out looking like a sore loser, was Kendall Qualls. There was the back.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I was very surprised by that because I didn't have a horse in the race. I was focusing on the attorney general race. But with the governor's race, I think I was pretty clear. I did not want Paul Gazelka because I looked at him as he was the majority leader in the Senate during the 2 years of lockdown and never called a vote to have Jan Malcolm fired, which would have been the leverage that would have been needed, in my opinion, to force Walls to drop his emergency powers and extending the emergency powers. So I was, I liked both of them. But I was very surprised by the kind of taking his ball and going home attitude that Kendall displayed after Scott was endorsed on Saturday.
Well, it's Mike Murphy called him a sellout, calls. Because Murphy claims that he was offered the lieutenant governorship and then it was taken back and it's a back and forth going on. But, I mean, from afar, the fact that Qualls left before anything was final tells me he did. He picked up his ball and went home, and it was a sore loser type of thing. And I'll tell you what, the Democrats are really concerned about Jensen and Matt Burke because you read what they said. Minnesota Republicans have chosen the most extreme and dangerous candidate to lead their party in the fall. That sentence alone tells you they are scared of him.
Well, I think what they're scared about, too, is I think that there were – I think with Qualls and Gazelka, they were going to make this – the whole – election about public safety and crime and try to run on that, right? And with Scott, you're going to get the referendum on what Walls did the last 2 years. And I think I've made no bones about it. And as we've talked over the last couple of years, I have a huge number of clients in the hospitality industry. I have a big client who is a gym. You know, I had a lot of clients who had their livelihoods threatened by what Tim Walz did the last 2 years, and I want the referendum on what he did, and I want him to be defeated based upon that.
Yes.
He putting sick people in the nursing homes. That's the stuff he should be called to account for. And I think Scott and Matt are going to call him to account for that, and not just run on being, you know, on the public safety and pro law enforcement, because I don't know that resonates as much as what some of the other issues do. I mean, I think it's definitely a major issue, but I think the biggest issue it's always been for me is if you vote one way, you're going to go back to normal, and the other way, you're going to continue with using this virus as a means of suppressing people's liberty and freedom. And one of my clients who's a state rep, I said, you guys should be running on your mantra of make Minnesota 2019 again.
That's a good one. Now, I'll tell you what, though, what I find, I think it's reprehensible what Walz did. And also, though, he's a lemming. He just followed the governors in the East. They
yep.
put sick people back in nursing homes. That's what he did. If you go back to when COVID first started, he took his cue from the governors on the East Coast. And one of them, I mean, Cuomo winds up getting ousted, and he was the guy that many of them were taking their cue from. And it's terrible. I mean, how do you not know? Don't put sick people into nursing homes with our most vulnerable. It's just common sense. And I do think between Scott Jensen and Matt Burke, they will hammer that home. The other thing that I think was smart is that Jensen named Matt Burke as his running mate months ago. And he was the only one who did, right? No one else.
Yep.
I think somebody might have gone into the convention the day or two before and said, maybe it even was
Yeah,
Murphy.
I think Gazelka had somebody like a week or so ago, but and Mike Murphy. Yeah, they had a couple of them, but nobody with the impact of a Matt Burke, who some folks such as myself have been hoping he would actually seek office himself for a number of years. I wanted him to run against Al Franken years ago, and I was kind of disappointed.
Well, but he's lined himself
so.
Up, and he, you know, and if one of these senators has to step down for any reason, he's in line to be sent to Washington. Though I don't know if he wants to do that. But then again, I mean, he has traveled. You know, he went to Baltimore with his family. He's got seven kids, and he's a busy guy, that Matt, which is great for him.
I think the overall message here. Versus, we need in Minnesota is we need, regardless of what happens in November with Congress and the Senate, we're still going to have two more years of the Biden administration. And you want a guy like a Ron DeSantis, who literally thumbs his nose at Joe Biden and his administration, and says, we're going to do this down here in Florida. I think Scott and Matt will do that if they're in charge. They will just say, hey, we're going to respect federalism. We're going to run Minnesota the way Minnesota should be run. And we're not going to just be lemmings for the federal government.
Yep. Now, the other race that I found, I was very surprised about Tad Jude, that he did not get the endorsement for attorney general. And they gave it to a guy I didn't even remember seeing this guy's name in the race. Is it Jim Schultz? Is that his name?
Jim Schultz. Yeah.
They blew it.
He came in, I think, that's my opinion as well. So, for a long time, it was Doug Wardlow was running against Dennis Smith, Wardlow being the one who lost to Ellison last time when Ellison wasn't an incumbent. Jim Schultz got in the race a few months ahead of Tad, and somehow became the establishment's darling and got the police and peace officers' endorsement and some of that. You know, Tad got in, you know, February of this last year. You know, you got a chance. You got Ellison, whose internal polling has about 28% in support of re-election, and you've got a retired judge that you could run against him. And instead, you pick a political newcomer who is going to go up against the Ellison Soros Bloomberg machine. I think that was a
mistake.
I think that was a tactical error. I mean, I've heard from all people I know that I trust that he's a good guy. And, you know, he's got the fire in his belly, but, you know, we've had a lot of candidates over here.
Hey,
that have
Jeff
fire
Johnson
in
was
belly.
A good
you gotta
guy.
You got to have credentials.
And he got blown away twice in running for governor. All right.
Yep.
As always, Jeff O'Brien, Chestnut Cambrone, thanks so much. Take a quick break. The BS Show will be right back.